This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Now, Victoria Police have a very, very busy weekend. They're trying to reduce road trauma, and I'm not going to call them accidents. They're avoidable, but they've actually done this fantastic new video, and they've asked kids about road safety and what their parents should do. Just before we speak to Doug Fryer, Assistant Commissioner for Traffic, here's just a little bit of the sound. Obviously not the vision because we're on radio, but have a listen to this.
The lollipop lady.
When you're turning in a car, always put your indicator on.
Yeah, you have to concentrate, you have to not drink alcohol, and if you're tired, just turn it and park.
Out of the mouths of babes.
How good is that?
It's how good. Doug Fryer, Assistant Commissioner Traffic, Victoria Police. Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Good morning, Macca and Pat. How are you going?
Pretty good.
Good, thank you.
What a fantastic initiative because, again, the out of the mouth of babes, the kids, and parents particularly, are going to see that, and that's really going to hit home for them, isn't it, that the kids are saying, when you turn, put your indicator on. What, you know, I say, what a novel concept, yes, but, hey, it's going to hit home, isn't it?
You know what, just and they describe it really simplistically, but they get it. They know that speed will hurt you. They know that you'll be distracted if you're on the mobile phone, that, you know, if you're tired, you need to rest. So, you know, all of these things that we, you know, talk about the fatal five, well, the kids don't call them that. They absolutely know that if you don't focus on just driving, that you're going to get hurt. So, you know, we're just wanting the parents to listen to the kids around this safety message. Really important.
Now, so you're running Vic Police, you know, you've got a long history in road safety and great road safety initiatives. You're running a campaign over Easter, but it also goes up to Anzac Day, doesn't it? So it's, how long is it? 13 days?
It does, Macca. So it's a 13-day operation, Operation Nexus, and it's a statewide operation. So we've got all of the highway patrol out. We've got all of the state highway out, the general duties, detectives, everyone. So every available member has made a commitment to focus on road safety. We're up in the bush as well, so off-road policing of both the four-wheel drives and the dirt bike riders. And unfortunately, we're still pulling people over up there as recently as yesterday who are over 0.05 on dirt bikes, clearly a recipe for disaster. We've already lost a couple of lives on our road during this period, and we just don't want to see any more carnage on the roads.
Now, interestingly, I've just had a message from my partner, Doug, who's on his way in to have some lunch with us. He says, I'm heading in and there's police checks everywhere. Doug's doing his job.
It's good to see. I did join the Greensboro Highway Patrol yesterday and do 100 or two PBTs. But you know what? We do it in the mornings, afternoon and night, but we're picking people up after they've had big nights on the gas. And you know, that's a message for people that you really need to understand that it takes a fair while to get alcohol out of your system. And all we're asking, Macca and Tass, is that people separate the behaviours of either using drugs or drinking and the activity of driving, because it's a no-brainer. It's a recipe for disaster. We lost 84 people last year just from drug and alcohol driving.
Doug, can I ask a question? It seems that, I mean, I'm a 31-year-old. I was brought up that, you know, you always wear a seatbelt, you don't drink and drive, yet I'm growing up in the same group of my own generation who, you know, stupidly do those things. I feel like there's only so many, you know, drug vans and big, huge buses that go around. It feels like that we're all being slammed with the same information. Why is it not getting through to people's heads? I mean, is the message not clear enough? But I would have thought after 30 years of seeing ads on TV of people slamming into poles and what happens, you know, when you get arrested or all these campaigns, it's a no-brainer not to do it. So why do people still do it?
Well, you know, I think they think they know better, that they can run the gauntlet. But last year we had 43 people die on our roads who were alcohol affected. We had about 58 who had illicit drugs in their system. So we've had a campaign around separating drinking and driving now for 40 years. So in 1976 is when we started. Back then we had 950 deaths on our road and near on 50% of them were alcohol related. So just shocking numbers. So it's taken 40 years for people to get the message, but unfortunately not everyone has yet. But I think our next real challenge is the separating using drugs and driving. And it's not around the moral debate of using illicit drugs or not. It's just all we say is, can you please separate the behaviours? So in 2013, illicit drugs overtook alcohol as a leading causal factor in road death. And, you know, we test 100,000 people a year in Victoria. We're sort of nation-leading and world-leading in that. But our strike rate, really disturbingly, is about 1 in 11, so about 9,500 we got last year using drugs and driving. So that's our next challenge, I think, Tass, that we really got to hammer at home, that whether you choose to use drugs, just please separate the behaviour from jumping behind a wheel.
So, Doug, the campaign that we've just played a segment from uses children. Could you tell us a little bit about what the campaign's trying to achieve, and also why have you used children? I mean, obviously children are cute and, you know, lovely voices and they tell the message very directly, but you must have done some research or gathered some evidence to show that this actually will grab people and will actually shift behaviours. Can you talk to us a bit about some of that?
Well, what it is they are our most precious, aren't they? And when they're in a car, they are absolutely our most precious cargo. And now, I'll put this to you guys and the listeners, that, you know, when, like, mobile phone use in cars is, everyone's doing it. It's a terrible, terrible thing to do because it leads to significant trauma, particularly in the country. But when do people do it? They do it either in the car when they're by themselves, or they do it when the kids are in the back seat. They'll never do it with an adult in the front seat because they'd get told off for it. So we're saying to the young kids, hey, if you see mum and dad on the phone while you're sitting in the back seat, just call out to them, hey, mum and dad, can you get off the phone? Because my life depends on it. And it does. So we know, and you guys see it, at sets of lights, everyone's checking their phone. Now, that'll bring you a $466 fine and 4 demerit points. But when we've got people doing that at 100k an hour on rural roads. And for me at the moment, the message I really want to get out is our rural roads are very, very dangerous. We've had near on 50 deaths of our 73 this year occur on high-speed rural roads. And that 100 is not the recommended speed, it's the maximum. And we ask that everyone drive to the conditions, whether it's wet, check the road type, dusk, dawn, you know, animals on the road, all of that. So it is not the recommended speed.
I, for one, personally hate it when I get tooted on the highway for driving just under the speed limit. And I have pressure put on me by other drivers on the highway to speed up. But Doug, I want to go back a little bit to the campaign. So does using children actually work? Do you have evidence that supports that premise?
Well, what it is, Tass, is I suppose I sometimes get a little frustrated. I'll come out as the Assistant Commissioner of Road Policing and try to give a road safety message. And I think it becomes a little humdrum at times, and the message just gets lost. Here he is again talking about road safety. But, you know, the innocence of children giving their views on the world around road safety has to hit home with, you know, the adult community. What the research certainly says, that the shock and awe of, you know, bloodied road fatality ads and campaigns is not what people want to see now, and that's not what hits home. So, you know, for us, we're just trying something a little bit different to use our most precious out of the mouths of babes. We're hoping that the adults will listen because the kids get it. And my question is why don't the adults?
Full marks for that. I'm familiar with campaigns in other sectors. For example, the anti-smoking lobby ran a fantastic campaign through quit councils, actually, that used children who, you know, begged their parents to stop smoking because they didn't want to see their parents dead. Mm. So I can see how that might work.
Doug, I just wanted to get your thoughts on something. New Zealand recently launched a campaign about texting and driving, and they made this brilliant video in the tune to Lionel Richie's Is It Me You're Looking For, where it involves someone's driving and their phone vibrates and they go down to pick it up, but their passenger puts their hand down there. So when they do reach their hand down, it's like that they lock hands as if they're holding hands together in the car, which I thought was really, really funny. And of course, there's some awkward moments when two girls, two guys do it and stuff like that. It's like, oh, what's going on? He's trying to, you know, but it's sort of like a campaign to say, hey, my life is more important. You don't need to check your phone when I'm in the car with you. Have you had any feedback from that? I mean, is that something, do Victoria Police look at other countries and other campaigns and go, that's something that we could try and implement? Or is it very much just a say, like a think tank down at the Melbourne West Precinct where everyone's just in a room coming up with ideas?
You know what? We really do look to each other for new initiatives. So right across Australia, New Zealand and beyond, we look to see what campaigns are working and what are not. So we don't want to double up if someone's already done it and they've done it well. So New Zealand have had some great campaigns, and even some of their road trauma ones, where they've done some segments where they slow-mo, you know, what could have happened, and drivers get out of cars and talk it through. But, you know, it's been, I suppose for us, the journey of campaigns is that we've moved on from shock and horror. What is there that people are going to listen to? And sometimes it needs to be a little bit quirky and a little bit different, whether it's the kids or whether it's, you know, putting hands on each other to make them stop. But, you know, the mobile phone stuff really is a concern. We've surveyed the Victorian community. We've got 4.5 million people who either ride or drive in Victoria, and about 60% of Victorians who are licensed say that at times they check their mobile phone while driving. So, you know, that's over 2 million people that at some time are checking phones. And, you know, you wonder why we've got these cars running off perfectly good roads in the country sometimes, and there is no doubt that some of that's related to distraction through mobile phones.
Doug, my personal strategy around mobile phones and driving now is to park my mobile phone in the boot.
Yep. I was talking to Mick Doohan the other day, and he said exactly the same. He physically puts his mobile phone in the glove box, closes it, doesn't matter if it rings or not, he simply doesn't touch it. So whether it's the boot, the glove box, the back seat, it seems to be if it's in reach, then it's a risk. So we just ask everyone, just leave it alone. Like, that need for connectivity through the community can't be so great that you'd risk your life.
It's a big challenge, isn't it, Doug? Because I challenge our listeners to say, you know, hey, I haven't ever done this. I actually have my personal view is that, and the technology is there, what disturbs me is I see people all the time using their phone when their car has Bluetooth.
Yeah.
So why are they holding up their phone and looking at it? Okay, because they're looking at their Facebook or some other nonsense.
Or reading a text.
Well, you know, most of the Bluetooth and most of the systems in the cars will actually read out the text to you, or, you know, have voice activation. So I really don't know why people need to do it, because the car allows them to. The car can actually, they can actually hear the message, or they can send a voice message.
Yeah, so the type of offending, Macca, I think, has changed. So it used to be a couple of years ago, and even enforcement, we'd pick people up for using their mobile phones with the phone of the year, and you're right, the Bluetooth now takes care of the mobile phone. So the offending's gone really from holding the phone to the ear, now it's in the lap, and that's not even texting. We know that a lot of it's social media, so this need to check Facebook or Instagram, all of
Twitter.
So the offending really has changed, and the technology for that sort of activity around social media in vehicles isn't there yet, but it's this thirst, I think, of Australians to be connected socially, and it's a challenge for everyone, I think.
If you're going to grab something in your lap, don't make it be the phone, I say.
So Doug, you know, it's Easter holiday period. What can we expect to occur on the roads over this weekend?
So we've got all of our available out there, our specialists, our heavy vehicle unit are doing the trucks, our solos are doing both on-road and off-road up in the state forest. So from the oceans to the seas, we have cops everywhere. So up to 10,000 out there enforcing to make sure everyone gets there safe. You mentioned seatbelts before. We still have 20% of those who die on our road weren't wearing seatbelts. We'll be checking speeds. One of the big challenges for us is fatigue. So we know that people are driving relatively long distances, but the SES have got 45 driver reviver stops right across Victoria, and we just ask everyone to really self-regulate within the cabin, because we just can't be there to enforce fatigue. And you need to do it yourselves. You need to look after each other. Take a break when you need to. And clearly separating the behaviours of having a drink and then jumping behind the wheel, and know that the grog stays in your system for a fair while, so you need to be careful the next morning.
Great. Doug Fryer, Assistant Commissioner, Road Policing, thanks for your time. Hope your weekend isn't littered with car accidents and incidents on the road. Let's hope people pay attention.
We don't want to see any more deaths. We lost one of our own yesterday, tragically. A sergeant got hit on his push bike in the presence of his daughter.
Shocking.
And, that just hits home to all of us. We're at now 73 lives lost on the Victorian roads, and whilst we're a lot lower than we were last year, that's 73 families are not going to have their loved one there for Christmas, and 73 communities going to fill a chapel to say goodbye. So can we all just focus on one thing, get there safe? And Tass and Macca, thanks so much for your support around road safety.
A pleasure. And
enjoy your Easter break, and make sure you get some Easter eggs in too, Doug.
And just, Doug, whether they're halal or non-halal Easter eggs, enjoy them.
I'm dieting, Macca, so there'll be none for me.
Okay, all right. Good advice.
See you guys.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.